I invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3 in your Bibles. Colossians chapter 3, we will read verses 12 through 17. That's about halfway through the passage to the end. Not the end of the chapter, but the end of that section. Colossians 3 at verse 12. While you're finding that, you'll notice that we're taking a break from our Belgic Confession series. We're going to take a break all the way through Christmas time. This coming Sunday, God willing, it is the first Sunday of Advent, and we'll do a typical Advent series up to Christmas Eve, our candlelight service, and hopefully then get back to the Belgic Confession. We're almost done. We're getting close, but thank you for your attention to that. Colossians 3 at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Well, dear people of God, Thanksgiving time seems to suggest that it's time to give Thanksgiving. Now, I'm going to give a regular reminder. Thanksgiving Day does not mean this is the only day we should be thankful. God's Word is very clear, and we're going to, a little bit different than usual, we're going to look at quite a few passages to show God wants us to live in thanksgiving, to regularly be giving thanks to God. In modern American usage, Thanksgiving has become a national holiday, as you know. The banks are closed, the government is closed. I haven't checked what businesses are closed, but I suppose quite a few are. There were cars at the Sinahanya Payless today, so they must be open this morning. But a lot of businesses are closed because it's a national holiday. It includes a paid day off from work for many, many people, government and others. And often the news talks about all the travel that people are traveling. Here in Guam, one of our visitors traveled a long way to see us. But most of us don't travel too far here in Guam for Thanksgiving Day. So besides all of these typical things, traditional family gatherings, as you know, our faith family has our regular yearly Thanksgiving feast together, partly because, like us, many of you, your family doesn't live nearby. Some of them do, not very many. So our faith family works together to have a very enjoyable feast, and although it's maybe becoming a little less in our modern days, often Thanksgiving includes a worship service, as we're doing now. Most Americans consider it correct and polite to be thankful in many situations. We often teach young children from when they're very young, when they receive a gift, what do you say? Thank you. Doesn't always seem real sincere, but it's sincere in terms of wanting our young people to learn to be thankful for gifts, large or small. And sometimes it sounds sincere, but sometimes not, as youngsters learn to give thanks. Now, I've preached every Thanksgiving for many years, and so I wonder, earlier last week and earlier this week, about how to approach it. And then I noticed something that you probably noticed years ago. Giving is in the Word. See that? Giving. It's in the name. Just this past week or so, I read a Breakpoint article by John Stone Street, one of the authors who took Chuck Colson's place when he passed away. It was about volunteering in America. Now, he didn't visit Guam or didn't mention Guam, but we're part of America. America's Day begins here. But he noted a decline in volunteering in America. John pointed out, and I quote, according to the National Fire Protection Association, the number of volunteer firefighters across the country has been steadily in decline, with a drop of over 132,000 volunteers in just the last 4 years. Many volunteer fire departments, which we had in our previous home in Northwest Iowa, especially in rural communities, are struggling to meet the demands of their districts. Now, it isn't just fire departments, volunteer fire departments, that are affected. I don't think we have any volunteer departments here in Guam. I think they're all full-time professionals. And I would say, by the way, I learned this a long time ago, volunteer firefighters are different from regular firefighters in only one way I can think of. They're not paid full-time. Most volunteer fire departments are paid for the days they go to a fire, for when they get called, and even when they get trained. But they need to know everything professional firefighters need to learn to know. Everything. Except they don't get paid full time. He added that the most drastic demographic decline in volunteers is in young people. In fact, he said over 50% of current volunteers across the country are over the age of 40. The widespread decrease in volunteering among young people threatens emergency medical services like ambulance drivers and so on, pregnancy resource centers, homeless shelters, nonprofit organizations, all the way from the Red Cross to retirement homes. Now, Mr. Stone Street didn't mention that churches are facing similar reductions. I don't know if you've noticed, but you get quite a few more emails showing, as I looked at one this morning, that our own service schedule seems to not fill up like it used to. So maybe the same is true of churches. But Mr. Stone Street believes that the church should be the ones to shine in the face of volunteer reductions. He said of the church, again I quote, we can create a sense of community and belonging. We can instill civic virtue, helping people experience the truth that no man is an island to himself. Or I would add, more importantly, it is better to give than receive. One of those is in Scripture, one is not. Also, our faith, though personal, is certainly not private. God has revealed himself as a community. The Father and Son and Holy Spirit are a community and in relationship, eternal relationship. Relationships aren't just something that God does. It is who God is. Made in his image, we too are made for community. In other words, on Thanksgiving Day, this can be summarized like this. We Christians should be giving our time in volunteering in our church and in our community because of God's love for us and our love of God and our neighbors. In very down-to-earth terms, it should not be so hard to fill our service schedules. We should be thanksgiving. I put a hyphen in there to make the emphasis. We should be thanksgiving of our time. Now, many do. Don't get me wrong. But apparently it's reducing a little bit, like Mr. Stone Street's article. Now, since we notice that giving is in the name, we should also notice that besides our time, which it says right on the top of there, thanksgiving should include our treasure. Now, maybe like me, some of you, as soon as I say treasure, you think of a musty old chest. When you open it, it's filled with gold coins. Does anybody have one of those? I don't think we do that too often anymore. But we sometimes call this, and appropriately we call this stewardship. It's really about giving faithfully to support God's kingdom. This often means that our local church ministry should come first. We need to learn to give regularly and generously. A long time ago, some of you know how long, I was very young, maybe second or third grade, when my dad was a deacon in our local church in Northwest Iowa. And at times he had homework. He had to take all the envelopes home. We had a numbered envelope giving system, so every family received numbers and envelopes. I don't think they wrote a lot of checks back then. This was a long time ago. And he would take them home, and then he had to mark everyone. He opened all the envelopes, and he would mark on the book how much people have given. Because even today, we have to send out receipts for what you've given as long as we can track it. So my dad took that homework home. It was all confidential, of course, but he told me our number, and I could have found out our number because there was a shelf, and it was on the shelf. We had our envelopes, and every Sunday we'd put money in the envelope. And he showed me on his ledger sheet the faithful, regular, weekly giving that our family gave each work week, besides a little bit of cash, usually change, that he would give us to put in the collection plate. Now, it wasn't all that much. This was in the 50s, 1950s already, or early 60s. But it was a time when we didn't have all that much. Now, I am embarrassed to admit that it took me a long time to finally learn, as an adult, to give regularly, faithfully, intentionally, to the work of the local church first, and then other causes as I'm able to and as God provides. Now, I praise God that most of the time I don't know anything about your giving. That's the way it's supposed to be. But sometimes I learn, and I know of a family who makes a point to give at least 10% of their income to the local church, and then finds a way to support other good causes as they're able. This is what we call above regular giving. Some of you know that very well and do that very well. We give to other causes like our roof fund and the Dr. Dave Owen Memorial Fund and other good causes, but hopefully after we regularly give to the local church. As I suggested, I want to emphasize many are very, very good at this and are very generous. They have learned to do this well. Some in the past year have given far above a tithing or 10% as they're able. Sometime soon, our annual budget, I don't remember what day we'll do that, it will be presented. And I'm going to give you right now a brief preview. Our annual giving to the local church, Faith Church, is about $12,000 per year short of our already slimmed down spending each year. We can't find very many, if any, areas to cut. So if our giving doesn't improve, some very hard decisions will need to be made in the not-too-distant future. Here's why I say that. Some who are able will need to improve their giving, their Thanksgiving, year-round, not just on Thanksgiving Day. And hopefully no one will reduce their giving. God has provided for us and will continue to do so. I personally can tell you when I became more generous, it seems God became more generous. Our finances are in better shape since we've been here at Faith Church than any of the many, many years before that. I'm not bragging. I'm praising God that He has done that. He seems to bless us more. I don't want to say that. It says that directly in Scripture, but it seems to me God blesses us more as we become more generous. We know He richly blesses those who give generously and faithfully. So, Thanksgiving is at least partly about giving our time and treasure for our church and community. But of course, it is much more. I'm going to do a bit of an overview of several scriptures. You don't need to write them down if you're taking notes, although it doesn't appear anyone is, but that's all right. You don't need to look them up when I mention the text because they'll be on the screen. We have quite a few slides because there's quite a few scripture texts. You see, in biblical usage, thanksgiving is a response that is due to God from His people. I've been in many organizations where there's dues, and you have to pay them if you want to stay in the organization. The definition uses that word as due to God. Specific grounds for thanksgiving to God may include, there are very many, and they include God's faithfulness to the covenant that He has given us. Consider some quotes. First, from Psalm 57, 9 and 10. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And then in Psalm 107, verse 8, it says, let them give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and His wonderful deeds for men. Psalm 138, verse 2, I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Biblical thanksgiving is also for the protection and deliverance of God's people from enemies. For example, Psalm 35, 17 and 18. O Lord, how long will you look on us? Rescue my life from their ravages, my precious life from these lions. I will give you thanks in the great assembly among throngs of people. I will praise you. We believe that would probably be a metaphor. We don't think that the author was literally being attacked by lions. But we also know from other parts of Scripture that he had many enemies, and they came after him viciously. And so he's using the metaphor to suggest that he has been rescued by God from these lions, these attackers. Also Psalm 44, 7 through 8. But if you give us victory over our enemies, you put our adversaries to shame. In God we make our boast all day long, and we will praise your name forever. And also briefly, Psalm 54, 6 and 7. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. Then there's thanksgiving for deliverance from prison. Some here have been in prison. Psalm 142, 7 says, set me free from my prison that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Thanksgiving for deliverance from death. I don't know if anyone here has experienced that. Psalm 86, 12 through 13 says, I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. Also Isaiah, not all of them are Psalms. Isaiah 38, 18 and 19 says, for the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praise. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you as I am doing today. Fathers telling their children about your faithfulness. Then there is biblical thanksgiving for the deliverance from those who would use the courts against them. Psalm 109:30 says, with my mouth I will greatly extol the Lord. In the great throng I will praise him, for he stands at the right hand of the needy one to save his life from those who condemn him. God is thanked for mercy toward sinners. This is a list of things we, too, may be grateful for, as directed in Scripture. Isaiah 12:1 says, in that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. God is also thanked for miraculous healings. Luke 17:16 tells of the 10 people cured of leprosy and says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. God is thanked for his acts of salvation. Luke 2:38 is the story of Joseph and Mary bringing their newborn child to the temple, and a prophet, Simeon, made some exclamations, and then the prophetess Anna said, and I quote, "Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." Now, I hope you'll notice in that text that her thanksgiving resulted in action. That's also a clear and direct biblical theme. Thanksgiving isn't just saying thank you, like we teach the little ones. It is also putting it into practice. Scripture tells, throughout actually, the fundamental sin of the Gentiles prior to Christ's salvation is said to be their failure to honor God, honor Him as God, or give thanks to Him. Romans 1:21 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." I think that, although it doesn't say it directly this way, I think that's evidence that giving thanks to God and others as appropriate brightens your life. Not giving thanks turns into futile and foolish hearts that are darkened. Thanksgiving was the focus of Old Testament worship. The Psalms say that over and over and over. But one other example is 1 Chronicles 16, verse 4. It says there, "He appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, to make petition, to give thanks, and to praise the Lord, the God of Israel." Psalm 42, 4 says almost the same thing. "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng." Thanksgiving was a regular and a special part of the pilgrimages that happened each year for Hebrew people for feasts in Jerusalem. Psalm 100, verse 4, which we read this morning, Jeff read, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." It seems foolish to us. We don't do pilgrimages all that much. But it was a regular command of God for his people to regularly attend worship in Jerusalem, at the temple in Jerusalem. And this text and others show giving thanks was a central and important part of that pilgrimage. Thanks. Psalm 132, verse 2, says, "I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted all things, you have exalted above all things your name and your word." Now this is a somewhat quick, pretty good overview of the Psalms, especially during this season of our study of them in adult Sunday school. Even more briefly, we'll look at the New Testament, where thanksgiving didn't stop. It was continued to be encouraged. It always took place in community and with the focus of attention on the community. Prayers for pastors and missionaries result, says Paul in 2 Corinthians 1:11. "Then many will give thanks on behalf for the gracious favor poured, granted to us in answer to the prayers of many." Personal prayers can and should include thanksgiving, as in Ephesians 1:16. Paul wrote there to the Ephesians, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in your prayers." I once had a little bookmark or something that said that verse, and I thought, whoa, does that mean I have to give thanks all day, every day, all day long? Well, I think I have other things to do. Well, I was wrong about that, and not wrong in a different way, because God wants our lives to show thankfulness in all of its parts. You don't have to stop what you're doing to be thankful. You should do everything that you're doing out of gratitude and thankfulness. Also, Ephesians 1:16. That's where I just read that one. Now, Paul sets a standard for prayers of thanks very high in Philippians 1:3. "I thank my God every time I remember you." Again, you don't have to stop what you're doing. Just be thankful when you think of your faith family, when you think of your biological or your other family, your other work family, or whoever it is. You can do that and be thankful. The thanksgiving of God's people are one way the knowledge of God is spread. We noticed that earlier. Also, Psalm 57:9 says, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. Apparently, increased thanksgiving is the result of that proclamation. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, all this, what he had just said before this verse, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. In a sense, that's one of the best summaries. What you do, people will see that, and it will result in thanksgiving and give overflow to the glory of God. We have mentioned, and I will say again, that true thanksgiving is not just deeds, not just giving, as we talked about. It is just as much or more a disposition of the heart, the condition of your heart. And it brings people nearer to God and enables them to see God's salvation. Psalm 50:23 shows clearly, he who sacrifices thank offerings honors me. That's God speaking through the psalmist. He who sacrifices thanks offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. Thanksgiving should not be just giving thanks for what we have. It would either be self-exaltation or self-deception, or both. It is much better to respond to the grace of God. Jesus made that point very clear in the parable of Luke 18:11-14, of the Pharisee who prayed about himself. I don't have that text on here. But Paul bolstered that point in 1 Corinthians 4:7. He said, for who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Oh, okay, I tried to keep it brief. And I did that, I guess, by being quick. We should be thankful for many things in many ways, according to the Bible. If you've been keeping track of all the things, you'd have a list now of about 10 or 12 things. I could highlight them here in my notes. 10 or 12 things to be thankful for, according to the Scriptures. And you may have additional items on your list to be thankful for, according to the Bible. Many things, but also with our time and treasures. Kind of in conclusion, I did not quote all of the texts that refer to or mention Thanksgiving. It was a very long list, and I picked some that I thought would be useful. But interestingly enough, being generous is not listed as many times as thankful, but that doesn't mean it's ignored. Consider one last verse. It's a little bit longer, in case all the others didn't convince you. 2 Corinthians 9:5-11 says, and I'll quote, it'll be on here. I think it's three separate slides, David, so that's why the dot, dot, dot's at the end there. Okay, 2 Corinthians 9:5-11. So, says Paul, I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man, it means person, each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. Will also enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. There are some who preach what is called a prosperity gospel. We're not talking about that. But we are talking about what this text clearly says. When you trust in God, When you give Him all of who you are and all of what you have, and I'm not saying this, the Scripture is saying this, you will be made rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, that's the pastor, the missionary, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Please notice that. Our generosity, our giving regularly to our church, regularly give our time to volunteer at church or in the community, our generosity results in thanksgiving to God. That's why they do it. You don't owe it. Nobody's telling you you have to do it. It is God Himself who says, if you be generous, thanksgiving will come to me, to God, because of your generosity. So I can conclude by saying, be generous in giving as God provides, intentionally. And thank God today and every day and always for His many blessings. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Some of us maybe haven't noticed this for some time, that You are so specific and clear about asking us to give generously because of our thankfulness to You. Giving thanks and giving time and treasure because of Your many blessings to us. We ask that You'll fill us and use us. We ask that You'll help us to be generous because Your Word has called us to do that. We ask that You'll help us to be faithful in everything, big things and small things. We thank You. We want You to have all glory and honor and praise, not because of us, but Lord, thank You that our generosity results in thankfulness to You. We thank You and praise You together in Jesus' name. Amen.